This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Infighting going on now, and there has been for a little while. The district attorney and Sheriff Eddie Vierden, they don't get along well. They seem to have very different outlooks on this investigation that Sheriff Eddie Vierden has been spearheading for quite some time now into possible connections to BTK and a murder that would have taken place back in Osage County in the 1970s. Right now, the issues and lawsuit has actually now been filed between Ann Fisher, who is the district attorney, over uninformed and ignorant comments, is how it was phrased about the investigation. Osage County Sheriff Eddie Vierden alleges Mike Fisher, the district attorney for Osage and Pawnee, made the comments at a news conference last month about the investigation that he's been conducting into Raider. Vierden accusing Fisher of surreptitiously contacting elderly families of the murder victims, telling them that the sheriff was only conducting his investigation for publicity and political purposes, and suggesting that they not cooperate with him, according to the lawsuit. This is interesting. It's like this very bizarre small town fight. Don't talk to Wilbur down there. He, you know, just doesn't seem like he's on the right path. The DA and them being at odds like this, what do you make of it?
I think you got two egos at battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got two. I mentioned it earlier today, because so it's my phrase of the day, and that's self-serving bias. You have two self-serving biases going at each other. My big question when I saw this was, first, for the sheriff, who's his loving critic? Mm-hmm. In other words, who is helping him not have a self-serving bias? Who's the sounding board before he takes an action that he bounces things off of, you know, to guarantee that what he's doing is actually in the interest of the case alone, in the interest of the families alone, and not in his interests or by a product of, you know, I liked his explanation for bringing in the, you know, the reality show so we can increase, you know, our pay and increase getting people applying for the job. Okay. But still, it comes back to you. So I keep wondering, who's his loving critic that is standing there saying, hey, you know, you might want to think about this again before you actually take action. And you want to say that against, you know, that maybe the prosecutor also is doing a good job being a loving critic. But at the same time, why did he have to go out and interview families and talk to families? He's just like, ugh. Everyone, yeah. I see two egos battling. And unfortunately, the people that are suffering are the families.
At the end of the day, that really is, I mean, it's such a weird thing to be watching. I mean, if indeed there is solid evidence that can actually be prosecuted here, great, keep going. But if this is something where time has passed and there's just not going to be enough, stop dragging the family through hell on some sort of, you know, wild goose chase wearing large hats. It's very bizarre. Defendant Fisher's actions, they're claiming, have also been cruel to the surviving families by dashing their hopes of bringing their family members' killer to justice, a statement coming out of the Vierden camp. Yeah, I mean, that does make sense, but it also does make sense of having some reservations. I can really see it from both sides. There are a lot of interesting caveats here when it comes to the battle between Vierden and the district attorney, specifically politically, with an election that is coming up. Fisher is supporting the opponent of Vierden, and they're arguing that this is all part of a publicity campaign against them, against Vierden, for essentially the upcoming election, and that's being used for other purposes. I mean, is this whole thing turning into a kind of a mess of these egos and these goals that really are being hijacked under the guise of we're searching for another BTK victim here?
I think so. I think they're both operating in a self-serving echo chamber. No one's got anyone with a with clarity of thought and, you know, giving them other guidance and other things to consider. In their hearts, I'm not doubting that they believe they're taking the best actions in the interest of the family, but that's, we all have these biases. We think we're doing all we can because we're emotionally attached to the outcome that we're seeking. And our egos are tied up with those outcomes. It's not like they're worse or worse people than anyone else or better people than anyone else. No, it's the human condition. But part of the way we overcome that human condition is we have people in our lives that can be those loving critics for us to give us that objectivity that oftentimes when we're emotionally attached to the outcome that we want, we need.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on the quote unquote nationwide task force that Virden has put together to try and figure out if in fact BTK is linked to these other crimes? There's lots of great people on that list, many that I know and that you probably know that, you know, we interact with on a regular basis here with what we do. And then you also have some interesting ones on there. And no offense to her, but like on a task force, Nancy Grace? It seems a little, it goes from, okay, this is interesting to publicity. And I know you need that to a certain extent, but on this, I don't know that you do. This is something where if we're going to really focus on this, it can easily be a private matter. We're not necessarily, you know, out there searching for the killer. He's behind bars. If it is in fact him, you know, why would you need the publicity to seriously take a look at this and have all these individuals volunteering their time to help?
Oh, it's so overcomplicated, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I get the rationale behind creating the task force of talking to people, and even Nancy Grace, you know, someone that's going to come in from right field and think of and look at things in a different way because of their reps that no one else has, which could give you an insight and something you never had before. But the way in which you're executing it is self-serving for your own popularity, for your own narcissism. It's great intent. The execution is where you're questioning it. So I get it. But if you're going to really, I mean, just think about this. There's a lot of phenomenal investigators out there doing the hard work every day, pounding a stone, loving the process of trying to find the perpetrators that are wronged individuals in life, whether it's been stealing from them or stealing their lives from them and ruining families. And they're doing it silently. They're doing it with a network of great, strong relationships. And they're coming to conclusions that are putting people behind bars. And we never hear about them.
Sure.
And the fact that we're hearing so much about this, it makes you question another motive that there might not even be aware of.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.